winter wonderland morning that we have. It's here. It's finally arrived. And for those of you that love it, I still love you. But I don't like it. I'll be honest with you, but amen. God bless you. Amen. Open your Bibles with me to John chapter 19, the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. I want to continue the series that we began last week, this Christmas message series entitled A Merry Christmas. A Merry, M-A-R-Y, Christmas. Our series is looking at the three special Marys in Jesus' life and the three special gifts that they bring to our life. John chapter 19 and verse 25 is our text and our key verse. The Bible tells us that now there stood, and the word there is stronger in the Greek in the original and gives us the indication that they stood and they were standing all day and they remained by the cross of Jesus, his mother Mary, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Now, picture with me the scene. Jesus is crucified that day after being arrested and beaten. And the day lingers as crucifixion is a long and grueling and gruesome type of death. And the beginning of the day, the crowds were loud and large. But as the day lingered, people began to go home and go their separate ways. And as it got into the evening, by that time, there were very few people that didn't have to be there, the soldiers, etc., that remained at the cross. But there stood, when everybody else had given up, when everybody else had gone home, there stood these three special Marys. There remained these three Marys. Now, in the Bible, there's at least five Marys. But these three special Marys we're spotlighting in this series because they show us that no matter what, we can remain faithful to the end. And we can stand strong no matter what's going on around us. And we can be victorious in Jesus. When I read this text, and as I talked about this text, as a matter of fact, I discussed it with Dr. David Wins when he was with us back in September. And we linked 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13 to this passage of the three Marys, where the Apostle Paul says, now abides or remains these three, faith, hope, and love. Say that with me, faith, hope, and love. When everything else is gone, when everything else doesn't seem to work, there remains faith, hope, and love. These three. And our series is drawing a parallel between these three Marys that remained at the cross and these three victorious virtues that if we incorporate into our life can give us the strength and the victory that we need. And so for our series and for our purposes, we have called Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Faith. We're calling Mary, the wife of Cleophas, Mary Hope. And we're calling Mary Magdalene, Mary Love. These three remained at the cross. And these three, faith, hope, and love, stand when everything else fails. Each of these three Marys had different journeys to the cross that day. But each of these Marys give us a gift. Mary, the mother of Jesus, gives us the gift of faith to believe again. Mary, the wife of Cleophas, gives us the gift of hope, that against all hope we can believe in hope. And Mary Magdalene gives us the gift of love that conquers all. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. Now, last week we spoke to you about Mary, the mother of Jesus. We looked at Mary Faith. If you missed last week, it's available on CDC Sue at the Welcome Center. See them at the booth. I believe it's on the website already, and you can listen to it. Get that message, because Mary, the mother of Jesus, gives us a gift this Christmas season, a gift of faith to believe again. And I believe even this morning there are those within sound of my voice, you need to believe again. Maybe you've given up faith. Maybe your faith has been shaken. Maybe things just aren't going the way you but today I want to challenge you from the example of Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Faith, to believe again. This morning I want to talk to you about Mary, the wife of Cleophas, Mary Hope. Say that with me, Mary Hope. Now there's a story of a taxi driver, it's a true story, of a taxi driver who was on his first day on the job. All excited, he picks up his first fare. And as he's driving, he gets caught up and wrapped up with the newness of the day and the newness of the job. And he's just driving as he's driving his first fare and his first day. After a while, the man in the back taps the driver on his shoulder. It startles the driver. He gets all flustered and nervous, so much so that he pulls the taxi over the side of the road. And he's shaky and jumpy. And the man in the back very apologetically says to the taxi driver, "Listen, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to startle you. As a matter of fact, I didn't realize that me tapping you on the shoulder would cause you such nervousness." The man said, "Well, you just don't understand." He said, "This is my first day on the new job. For the past 20 years, I drove a Hearst." "And I'm just not used to somebody in the back tapping me on the shoulder." How many are glad this morning that there's hope? That there's hope for this life, and there's even hope beyond this life. There's hope in Jesus today. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Faith. Mary, the mother or the wife of Cleophas, Mary Hope. Now this Mary, Mary the wife of Cleophas, is the less known of these three Marys. Most everyone knows Mary the mother of Jesus, and most people realize that Mary Magdalene plays a very prominent role in the life of Jesus and in the Gospels. But this Mary, Mary the wife of Cleophas, is the least known, and there is less verses about her in the Bible, but nevertheless, she's a significant person in Jesus' life, and she is an example to us today and gives us the gift of hope. Now, John chapter 19 and verse 25, which we read as our scripture, the scripture indicates to us that Mary, this Mary, is the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, let me clarify that, and let me explain to you that more accurately, this Mary is really the sister of Joseph, which would really be Mary, the mother of Jesus' sister-in-law, but nevertheless, the Bible identifies her as a sister of Mary, but really she's, most scholars believe that she was the sister of Joseph, Mary's husband, obviously Jesus' earthly father, in his ministry. Now, this scripture tells us and indicates to us that she is the sister of Mary. She is the wife of Cleophas. Now, Cleophas is also a disciple of Jesus. If you look back earlier in the Gospels, there's a disciple called Alphaeus. The name Cleophas and Alphaeus, and I don't know how that works, but in Aramaic, both of those names are identical. And so Alphaeus and Cleophas are the same person. So Mary is the sister of Joseph, sister-in-law of Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and she and her husband are both disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus. So in Jesus' life, this Mary would be considered Aunt Mary, right? She would be Aunt Mary to Jesus in his earthly life and his earthly ministry. The Bible also tells us in Matthew 27 and then in Mark 16 that this Mary is the mother of James, the younger James. There are two James, and I know this is all confusing, isn't it? You almost need a scorecard to keep track of all the people in the Bible. But Mary, she's the mother of James, and she's also the mother of Josie, not our Josie, but Josie, and the mother of Salome. And at different times, you'll see her name linked to James or to Josie or to Salome. But needless to say, the Bible identifies her as the sister of Mary, or really Joseph, and the wife of Cleophas. Now this Mary, Mary Hope, gives us three principles this morning that I want to look at to help us understand the powerful truth of hope. The first thing that Mary Hope teaches us and it gives us this gift of hope and it tells us in her example is that hope sees reality through the lens of eternity. Hope sees reality through the lens of eternity. In other words, hope sees what you and I are going, what's going on in our life right now, and sees that God has a greater purpose and that there's a bigger picture and that there's an eternity. I don't know about you, but I'm glad this isn't all there is. I'm glad this isn't the finish line. Come on, somebody. I'm glad that hope sees reality. The snapshot of what's going on in our life today, there's a bigger picture. There's an eternity. God has an eternal greater purpose for everything that happens. And hope sees that. Hope doesn't get bogged down only with the moment. Hope doesn't just let the moment defeat them. Hope sees beyond the moment in light of eternity. Look at scripture about Mary and how this principle applies. In Matthew 27, 50 to 54, Jesus had cried out with a loud voice and he yielded up the ghost. The veil in the temple was rent in two. The earth quaked and the graves opened. Picture the scene. They're at the cross and Jesus dies as he breathes his last breath. And the veil in the temple, over here, the temple, the veil is ripped. The earth begins to quake and graves start opening around. Now a centurion was watching. Notice that. He was watching. He was intently looking at Jesus. Can I say to you today, if there's a lot of stuff going on around you, if there's a lot of noise and there's a lot of distractions and a lot of things going on around you, keep your eyes on Jesus. Hope sees the reality through the lens of eternity. The centurion is fascinated. This Roman soldier, a centurion is one of the Roman soldiers who was assigned to be there at the cross that day when Jesus died. A centurion means he was one of 100, century meaning 100. He was one of a battalion of 100, and they were all there around the cross. And this one centurion wasn't caught up with the graves opening, wasn't caught up with the fact that this happened over here and the temple happened. But this one centurion was so focused on Jesus, and when he was able to see beyond just a good man dying on a cross, and he was able to see with the eyes of hope, He was able to see with the eyes beyond the moment. And he makes this declaration, truly, truly, this man is the Son of God. What a great declaration. He didn't just let death overwhelm him. He didn't let all the other distractions and noises around him or his responsibility to do what he was assigned to do. He caught a revelation beyond the moment. And he declared, truly, this was the Son of God. The account goes on in the next verse to say this, and there were the women right near this centurion. They were beholding afar off. They were looking at a distance. And the Bible says these were the ones, the women who followed Jesus from Galilee, and they had ministered to him and had served him. Among these women, standing along with the centurion afar off, was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Mary, the wife of Cleophas. Mary, the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's children. This Mary was standing at the cross afar off. She was looking and watching and beholding like the centurion as Jesus breathed his last breath, as the veil was ripped, and as the earth quaked and the graves were open. As all this was happening, Mary was there and she was observing and she was beholding. She was watching. She was focused and she was fixed on Jesus like the centurion. And she that day looked beyond the death of the moment and saw and heard the revelation that truly this is the Son of God. Mary was there to see and to hear that hope sees beyond the reality. And hope sees what's going on in the moment and looks beyond the moment and sees Jesus. Can you look beyond the death and destruction you see around you? Can you look beyond the discouragement? Can you look beyond the sights and sounds of life and the ripping of veils and the graves and the things that go on? And can you, with the eyes of hope, see beyond where you are at the moment and catch a glimpse of eternity, catch a glimpse of Jesus, the hope of this world, the hope of your life? Mary hope shows us that we can see our reality in light of his eternity. You see, those who only were at the cross that day, who only saw the reality only saw the moment, how many know their statement would have been truly, this is the son of Joseph? But those who beheld afar off and those who watched Jesus could say, no, this is the Son of God. And how many know there's a difference? You see, today if we only see death, if we only see graves, if we only see destruction, if we only see defeat, and look, you can't help but watch the news, you can't help but live in this world, you can't help but go through life with its challenges and its issues and get so distracted and so caught up with all these things, and they are reality and they are real. But here's what hope does. Hope looks at those realities and says, while they're real, Jesus is the Son of God. While they are real, not only is he the son of Joseph on this earth or the son of Mary, but he is the son, the Christ, the son of the living God. And he is high and lifted up. And if we will keep our eyes on him, how many know even in the reality of the moment, we can see, have hope. Because hope sees beyond the reality of the moment, looks beyond the moment, and sees that God is still on the throne. God still has a plan. Listen, I know there's so much going on in our world. I understand there's a lot going on in our lives today. But listen, God is still on the throne today. Jesus is not a defeat. You see, they could have looked at him on the cross and beheld him afar off and said, it's defeated, it's over, it's done. But they saw the Son of God. They saw a heavenly glimpse of He who is high and lifted up and is Lord both of heaven and earth. Listen to me today. There's hope in Jesus, and hope sees beyond the reality and sees Jesus. What do you see today? What do you see? What are you focused on? What are you looking at? The centurion and the women fixed their eyes on Jesus. They had hope. Mary Hope shows us that there's hope. What stood out to me is that they beheld afar off. Now, what stood out to me and what spoke to my heart was that how many know when you step back from things and when you look at things from a further distance, you get to see the bigger picture? Come on, somebody. You've heard the expression, when someone gets overwhelmed with life's problems or things, they can't see the forest amongst the trees, right? Mary Hope stood afar off, but because she had that little bit of distance, she was able to see a bigger picture. And today, I want to challenge you. Maybe you're in the midst of the trees, and maybe you're in the midst of the issues and the problems and the pains and the distractions. Today, take a step back and fix your eyes on Jesus today, because hope sees beyond the reality and gets a glimpse of eternity. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 14, though we sorrow, and how many know it's okay to sorrow? How many know it's okay to hurt? How many, it's okay that when you see a reality that's bad, to say it's bad. And when you see something that's not good, to say it's not good. It's okay to see that. But hope sees beyond that. Hope sees it and says, yes, this is bad. But hope says He's the Son of God. Though we sorrow not, He says, as those who have no hope. Why? Because we believe and we see Jesus died and rose again. And because He died and rose again, there's hope. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we see through a glass darkly. How many know right now from our perspective, from our earthly human perspective, it's like we're looking through a veiled and a dark stained glass. We don't have a clear picture of what God's plan is. And many of us are looking at our life and our reality and our situation, and we look at this world and we don't see a clear picture. It's like looking through a glass darkly. That's our reality. But the Bible says, but then we shall see Him face to face. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, and we will look beyond the moment, and we can see Jesus is Lord over that moment, and He is Lord of all eternity, we can live with hope. Listen, if we don't see Jesus above all these other things, we won't live with hope, because hope sees beyond. Mary Hope shows us that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Him. Yes, our eyes get thrown to the veil, gets torn. Yes, our eyes will glance at the death. Yes, our eyes will see the grave. Our eyes will be turned. Our eyes will be shifted over onto other things. But then how many know we have to get our eyes back on Jesus? Because He's the only hope. Hope focuses on Jesus in the present for what we are going through right now. But hope looks to Jesus for the future. Aren't you glad Jeremiah promised He has a plan that gives us hope and the future? Listen, God cares about and gives us hope for now, but when we will look to Jesus for our now, we also need to look to Jesus for our future. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11 to 2 says, wherefore, seeing that we have this great cloud of witnesses, there are those who believed and have gone on to eternity and to heaven. There's that heavenly, earthly perspective. Aren't you glad that there's those, the picture here, this is an athletic terms. How many know Paul either used athletic or military terms when he explained things in the scripture? And this is an athletic term. Wherefore, seeing we have a great cloud of witnesses, what he's saying is, imagine that we are in the arena of life and we're still fighting and contending in the arena of life, and the cloud of witnesses are in heaven. It's like they're in the bleachers and they're in the grandstands and they're cheering us on and saying, listen, we made it, and we made it, and there's hope, and there is a reality up here. There is an eternity. We made it. And they're cheering us on, telling us that we too can get through our reality, get through our moment, and we too can find our eternity in heaven with him. And he tells us, that there's a grandstand full of those who believed and those who lived with hope that are cheering us on, telling us you too can make it. You too can live with hope. And he says, therefore, if we know and we keep in our mind that there is a heaven, there is an eternity, there is a finish line, there is something more, God does have a bigger purpose. If we know that there are those who've been through what we did and overcame and are victorious and are in eternity, then we too can run our race that we have to run right now. We can handle our reality right now. We can fight through, and we can press through, and we can trust God and believe God through our reality now, because we know there's a bigger picture. And we can run the race that's set before us, and we can run it. How are we going to run it? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who began it and the one who hasn't brought you this far to not finish it. Who is set down, listen, who endured the cross and is set down at the right hand of God, making intercession for you. Not only are there witnesses cheering us on, how many know Jesus is at the right hand praying for you and praying for me, saying, don't give up, my brother. Don't give up, my sister. There's hope. There's a bigger picture. God has a plan. God is still in control. You see, Titus tells us this. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us that we should live soberly and godly in this present world. Even though we don't live in a sober and godly world, we are to live sober and godly. We're to live different, and we're to live beyond that. But he says, how can we do that? When we look for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Listen. We shouldn't live our life that, oh, one day I'm going to escape this big bad old world. No, we can live in this big bad old world now with hope, knowing that there is an eternity. Because hope sees our reality through the lens of eternity. There is a blessed hope. There's a bigger picture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us, for this cause we faint not. We don't lose hope. Why don't we lose hope? Though outwardly we're perishing, though outwardly things around us fall apart, though outwardly things don't go our way, though outwardly there are problems and pains and problems and issues, he says, but inwardly we can be renewed. Inwardly we can be strengthened. Inwardly we can be renewed and can have hope in Jesus. He says, for our affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for a greater purpose and an eternal glory. This isn't all there is. This isn't the last chapter of your story. There's hope today. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Because the Bible says, while we look not at the things which are seen, that's reality. Because those things are temporary. We are to look at the things that are not seen. That's hope. For these are eternal. Are you living with hope today? Mary Hope gives us a gift today, a gift of hope to say, look beyond the reality of the moment and see Jesus for now and for eternity. The second thing that Mary Hope shows us is that hope sees tragedy through the lens of victory. Hope sees tragedy through the lens of victory. How many know, as she stood afar off and looked at that cross that day, how many know, in the human and from a human perspective, you can only think this is a tragedy. And yet, how many know, that wasn't the end of the story. Because on the third day, come on, tragedy turned to victory. And hope looks beyond the cross and sees an empty tomb. Hope looks beyond the tragedy and sees the victory. Hope sees what is, but also sees what can be and what will be if we'll trust Jesus. When Mary, the Bible says, they laid Jesus in the tomb in Mark 15 and they rolled the stone in front of it. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, there's our Mary, the wife of Cleophas, the other Mary were sitting by the tomb. They beheld where they laid him. Think about it. They not only didn't go home when everybody else went home at the cross, they followed them all the way to the tomb and didn't give up hope. They went to the tomb and they watched them put the body in the grave. They watched them seal the large stone in front of it, and they just kept sitting there looking at where they put him. Come on, that's living with hope. Come on, that's looking at tragedy and saying, I'm waiting for victory. That's looking at the moment and saying, there doesn't seem any way possible, but somehow God can make a way. You see, that the hope looks at what is and says, yeah, but what can be? What will be? What can God do if we'll trust? They didn't want to leave. Kind of reminds me of one of my sons who didn't want to go to sleep when he was a kid because he thought he was going to miss something. These ladies were not going to go home. Mary was not going to go home. She was not going to give up hope. Even when they sealed the tomb, she just kept staring. She kept beheld. She kept staring. She kept looking. She said, I'm not going to get my eyes off Jesus because something's going to happen. Come on, is that how you're living today? Have you got your eyes on Jesus to the point where even when it gets to the point when it said, when the doctor says there's no hope, when you get to the point when things say there's no other way, when things get to the point where you throw your arms up and say it's just not possible, you see, Mary just kept looking where he was laid. And she kept her eyes on Jesus with hope that something was going to happen and God was going to do something. She didn't leave. She never gave up hope. And look at what happens. The next day, I don't know if they did go home or they just sat there all night. But and the Sabbath has passed, when Saturday night had gone and it went into Sunday morning, they brought spices to anoint the body. They probably left to go get the spices to anoint the body, and they came back to the tomb. Why? Because they had hope. God's going to do something. Something's going to happen. And the Bible says when they came, on the way there, the scripture says they said to each other, who's going to move the stone? Now, listen, how many know you don't go to anoint the body if you know the tomb is sealed and you're not going to get in? But they went anyways because they were going to keep their eyes on Jesus. They weren't going to let him out of his sight, even though he was in the tomb. They rolled the stone, and they saw an angel when they came, and the stone had been rolled away. And the angel was standing there by the stone that was rolled away, and the angel says to them, be not afraid. You seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Notice this. Behold the place where he was laid. What were they looking at on Saturday night? What were they looking at Saturday night? They were beholding the place where he's laid. And how many know? The angel said, listen, you stepped away for a moment, but you came back. And listen, I want you to get your eyes back on the place where they laid him. Last time you saw that there was a body inside a tomb. This time I want you to see that there's no body and he's alive and he's risen because there's hope. Notice the Bible tells us they beheld the place where he laid Saturday night when his body was in the tomb. But the next day, the angel instructed them, get your eyes back to behold the place where he's laid, because we want you to see. Because Saturday night, you saw death. This morning, you see that there's life in resurrection. Listen, today, tonight, this moment, you may see tragedy and may see death. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you can see victory. What does the psalmist tell us? The psalmist tells us weeping endures for a night. Weeping endures for a night. We behold things. I wish we didn't have to see some things in life. I wish we didn't have to experience some things. I wish I or you didn't have to go through some of the things that you're going through. I wish I could take it away. I wish it wasn't that way. But as you look at that moment, and as you look at the weeping, and as you look at the situation, as you look at what looks like it's impossible and no good, listen, while that may be true and may be real, how many know while weeping endures for Saturday night? How many know joy comes in the morning? Hope comes in the morning. You see, if we'll keep our eyes on the place where he is, Saturday night we can see death, but Sunday morning we can see resurrection. Because on the third day he's alive. I like what the lamentation, what the prophet Jeremiah said in his lamentations. And lamentation means laments, means his human emotions, his human frustrations. And the entire book of Lamentation is a human perspective of life's frustrations and life's problems. He said, my strength and my hope is gone. As I remember my pain and my misery, as I look at the tomb with a body and it's sealed, there's no hope. As I look at my situation and your situation, as we look at life and what's going on around us, we may see pain and misery and say, I've got no hope and I've got no strength. But then he says, but then I recall. Then I tell myself in my mind, wait a minute. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope. He says, for it is the Lord's mercies. I remember in my mind, if it's the Lord's mercies, it's God's mercy that brought me this far. It's God's mercy that brought me to this place. It's God's mercy that helped me to get this far, even though I haven't got the victory or the answer I want. But it's God's mercy that's got me to this point. His compassions, they don't fail. He's there and he's with me, even though I don't understand it and I'm not where I want to be. He says, but they fail not. But his mercies are new every morning, because weeping happens for an evening, but joy comes in the morning. And if you're in the evening season today and you're weeping and you're in pain and you're in misery and you've given up hope, listen, tell yourself today and hear the word of God that says there is hope today. It's the Lord's compassions that we haven't given up. It's only by God's grace that you're this far. Some of you this morning aren't where you want to be, haven't seen the great victory that you really want. But all through the process and all through the journey, maybe even through the pain, you've come this far. That's a miracle in itself, because that's God's mercies and compassions. They're new every day. And who's to say this morning can't be the mercy and compassion that brings the full miracle and victory to your life? There's hope. Don't give up hope because of the Lord's mercy. What did the Bible say about Abraham when God promised him a son? He was 100 years old. And 100-year-olds don't have babies. His wife, Sarah, was 90, and she was barren. And barren 90-year-olds don't have babies. And the Bible says, against all hope, he believed in hope. Can I say to you today, against all hope, will you believe in hope? Will you believe in the Jesus who is the hope of this life and the life to come? Because he considered his own body dead. He considered his wife's body dead. But he staggered not at the promise of God. You need to grab hold of his promise today. His promise of new mercies, his promise of joy in the morning, his promise of resurrection power. Grab hold of that today. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that he who promised was able also to perform it. See, it was the Lord is my portion, Jeremiah said. Therefore, I will hope. The Lord is good to them that wait and seek for him. It is good for a person to both hope and wait for the salvation of the Lord. If you haven't seen the victory and the miracle you need today, don't give up hope. Because his mercies are new every morning, and today could be your day. Come on. Today could be your day. Don't give up hope. Against all hope, believe in hope. The third thing, hope sees reality through the lens of eternity. There's a bigger picture, a greater purpose. Hope sees tragedy through the lens of victory, sees what is to what can be and what will be. But hope sees uncertainty through the lens of possibility. Hope sees uncertainty through the lens of possibility. What Mary Hope gives us today is a gift to say, if what you're facing is uncertain today, God has a new possibility today. How many know we don't have to be certain, but we can be clear? How many know that? Leaders and godly people don't always have to be certain about everything, but we need to be clear. I'm not certain about everything that goes on in our world. I'm not certain about everything that happens in our lives. I'm not certain about what God, but I'm clear that my hope is in him. And my trust is in him. Because in him is the possibilities. I don't have the answers. You don't have the answers. But in him, with him, all things are possible. All things are possible in all uncertainty. Look at what it says about Mary in chapter 24. This Bible says, and there were two that went to the village of Emmaus. They talked together of all which had happened, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. This is days after. While they reasoned, Jesus himself came and went to them. But their eyes were holden, or their eyes were blocked. They didn't know who he was. And one of them was Cleopas. Now, I want you to notice something. Mary, one of the three Marys at the cross, was the wife of Cleopas. Now, I know that the spelling in John, there's an H, and the spelling in Luke, there's not an H. Most scholars believe that this is the same person, Cleopas. It's not unusual that the endings of names had a little different variation or version. As a matter of fact, it still is the same root word for Alphaeus, which was the disciple who was earlier called. And so I believe that this Cleopas is the same Cleopas that was referred to in John 19, Mary, the wife of Cleopas. Mary's husband, I believe, was one of the two on the road to Emmaus. And I believe, and this is again my opinion, I believe Mary was the other one with him. It's not uncommon that women are not mentioned in certain passages and certain things along with, in that culture, they were not always named or recognized. I believe if Cleopas is the same one there, I believe that the one journeying with him was Mary. And here's why, because there are some scholars who believe that Cleopas and Mary, who was the sister-in-law of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the sister of Joseph, lived in the next village down called Emmaus. They were on their way home after the resurrection. And I believe the two of them are there. I believe, and that's not gospel, and there could be contrary ideas to that, but I believe from what I can do. And think of it this way, and here's why else I believe that. I believe that for this reason, because remember, Mary was one of the ones with Mary Magdalene at the tomb when the angel said, he's not here, he's risen. You remember the other thing that the angel said to them? Go quickly now and tell the disciples. Well, let me ask you this. If Cleophas was a disciple of Jesus and Mary was at the cross, the wife of Cleophas was at the tomb when the angel said, go tell the disciples, which disciple do you think Mary would tell first? She'd tell her husband. And who do you think Mary would spend the time talking with and walking with on a road about the death and the resurrection and all the things that took place, all the uncertainty of what happened? Could you imagine the two of them? They're walking down the road. And again, I believe it's Cleophas and I believe it's Mary, this Mary, the sister of Joseph. I believe this is Mary and Cleophas walking down the road. I believe they're on their way home to Emmaus. I believe they're walking along and they're talking back and forth and they're up in the air and they're going, can you believe what happened? I just can't believe the whirlwind of these last days. Can you imagine all the uncertainty was going on? Could you imagine the questions they must have had? This Jesus comes and he does miracles. He's doing all these wonderful things. He's the Son of God. He does all these things and then he gets arrested. Then he dies. Then he's alive. First it's this, then it's that. Could you imagine the uncertainty? And here they are all the way home going back and forth saying, I don't know, do you believe it? Do you believe it all? The angel told me that he's alive, but I haven't seen anybody. Have you seen Cleophas? Have you seen a body? What do you think? Maybe someone stole the body. Maybe this happened. How do we know it's really real? What do we know? What do we really know? And here they are walking down the street. Now imagine this. Then Jesus walks up to them. And the Bible says that their eyes were holding. They were somehow, they were blocked. They couldn't see who he was. They didn't recognize him. Now imagine this. And Jesus keeps walking along with them on the road. And they're going back and forth. And said, hey, didn't you hear about what's going on? He says, what are you? You've been out of town for a week? What? As a matter of fact, I was in the grave and I went back and, he didn't say that. Which could you imagine? They're saying, how do you not know what happened? How do you know the whole place was abuzz about all that was going on, all this uncertainty, all these things going on? And they're telling him, don't you know what happened? Don't you understand? This guy, Jesus, he said, look at what the next verses say. Look at what it says. It says, and we trusted. Now they're telling Jesus. Now imagine this. We trusted or we had hoped this Jesus that came was going to redeem Israel. Now they're telling Jesus that. They're telling him, we hoped that this Jesus who came is going to be the one who deliver us. He's going to be the one who's going to be. That was our hope. That was our dream. That's what we believed. That's what we held on to. We thought this was what was going to happen. But it's been 3 days since he died, so I guess that ain't happening. It's about what they're saying. They're saying, listen, it was 3 days ago. If he was going to do something, he certainly would have done it. And then there's rumors out there. He says, and when they had found not his body, they came saying, an angel said he's alive. He says, we don't know what to believe. We're not sure. We had hoped he'd come and redeem Israel. He didn't do that. They tell us the body's not there, and they said he's alive, but we haven't seen a body. We haven't heard anything, and he's right there. Their uncertainty. And today you may be walking down the road of life, and you may be sorting out all the things that are going on in your world and around you. You think, and this, and I don't know what to believe anymore. I hoped and trusted this thing. I thought God was going to do this. I thought, Jesus, you were going to take care of this. I thought you were going to take care of this. I thought this was going to happen. And then I hear all these other promises, and I hear these scriptures, and I hear the preacher telling me there's hope, and yet I don't know what to believe. I don't see any evidence. I don't see any body. I don't see any resurrection yet. I don't know what to believe. But Jesus is right there. Aren't you glad he's there? Aren't you glad even in our uncertainty he's there? Aren't you glad that when they threw the three in the fire, they said when they looked in, there was a fourth guy? Can I say to you in the fire, just look, he's there. Hope sees. Come on. Hope sees the fourth guy in the fire. Hope sees that the one who's walking with you, even in your uncertainty, is Jesus himself. He didn't send an angel to them. He came himself. and he stood with them, and he walked with them. And the Bible says, and he expounded unto them the scriptures about himself. Could you imagine that? He started telling me, well, let me tell you about the scriptures. He starts talking about these scriptures. Yes, yes, the Messiah is going to come, and he's going to die. And guess what? He's going to raise again. And he's telling them all the promises and all the prophecies and all the scriptures about himself. And they still don't know who he is. And then the Bible says this. I love this. The Bible says this. And they came near to the village. And they said, listen, we've reached our home. The journey has ended, but stay with us. They didn't know who he was, but they wanted him to stay. We love what you're telling us about the scripture. We love that you're telling us about the word of God. We love the fact you're opening the scripture. Tell us more. We want to hear more. We want to know more. Stay with us. Abide with us. And the Bible says he stayed with them. And that night he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he had communion with them. And the Bible says the moment he served them the elements, the Bible says their eyes were opened and they saw. Their eyes were open this morning. Listen to me. Jesus is with you. He's there all along. Even when you don't know he's there. Even when you don't think he's there. Listen to me. The word of God is true today. And if you will see him today, your eyes can be opened. Because hope sees. Hope sees. Hope sees the uncertainty through the lens of possibility. You see, all of a sudden now, their eyes were open, and what was uncertain now, well, wait a minute. Maybe he really is alive. Maybe it is true. Not maybe, it is, because look at what it says. It says, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and they said, this is what, I love this statement. They said to Jesus, did not our heart burn inside ourselves when he told us? I mean, they said to each other, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us and opened the scripture to us? I love that statement. They said to each other, you know, I felt something on the road, didn't you? I felt something when we were walking with him. I just kind of knew there was something special about him. I kind of knew there was something good. And then when he started telling us the scriptures, and then when he broke the bread, that was it. Then I knew. Can I ask you, does your heart burn within you today with the promise of the word of God? Maybe you don't have all the answers. Maybe you do still have uncertainty. Maybe you still can't connect all the dots. But listen. Listen. Jesus is there. And if you'll open your eyes, you can see him. And when you see him, your heart will burn with hope again. Your heart can burn bright with hope again. Listen, if you've lost hope and you become uncertain and you've given up, listen, your heart can burn again with hope. Hope sees the uncertainty through the lens of possibility. We used to sing a song when I was growing up, and we've sung it before, and we've sung it here at times. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth can grow strangely dim in light of his glory and grace. Listen, for some of us today, we just need our eyes open today. He's there. He's with us. He's there. Just that all the other stuff is blocking our eyes. But today, if we'll see Jesus, we'll find hope. Our hearts will burn again with hope. And hope will bring us the miracle and the victory that we need. The Bible tells us about hope in Hebrews 6, as I close this message, wherein God is willing to show us his promise with two unchangeable things, that we might be strong in hope before us, which this hope is an anchor for our soul, both sure and steadfast. I love this analogy of hope as an anchor of our soul. Imagine a ship in the middle of a storm, and it's being rocked, and it's being beaten, and it's possible to be shipwrecked, but you let down your anchor. Hope is your anchor today. I want you to know that Mary Hope tells us and gives us the gift to believe again and to hope again, because if we will let down our anchor today and say, Jesus, I put my hope in you, no matter what the storm rage, I can be sure and steadfast. And I can see the glory of God today. Hey, hope is your anchor today. Don't lose your anchor. Don't give up your anchor today. Hope. Hope is your anchor. Last week we told you faith, Mary faith. Faith is greater than our fears. Today, Mary hope tells us that hope is greater than our despair. Hope is greater than our despair. Hope is greater than our pains and our tragedies and our uncertainties. Hope is greater. Now listen, I know that this Christmas season, this time of the year, is called the most wonderful time of the year. And they made a beautiful song about it. And we hear it often. It's the most wonderful time of the year, right? You know I don't want to sing that. I want to sing it, but I'm going to spare you. But how many also understand that this time of the year is the most difficult time of the year for many? This is a time when despair sets in. This is a time when if there's family conflicts, it makes these holidays awful. If there is a loss of a loved one and there's the missing of those, this time is a time of great despair. If there's the extra pressure of finances and time and stress and all that's going on, while it is a beautiful time of the year and it's wonderful, at the same time it is the most difficult time of the year. But listen to me, hope is greater than our despair. Hope is greater. Hope is your anchor in this season. That's why Mary Hope gives us this wonderful gift today. If we will grab hold of it, if we will grab hold of Jesus today, if we will see him today in the midst of everything, and we will let down our anchor today, there is hope in Jesus. Hope that can see beyond our reality to eternity. Hope that can see beyond the tragedy to victory. And hope that can see past the uncertainty and experience the possibility of God's miracle. I close with this. There was a little girl with her father on a cruise ship. And she was standing by the rail. And she was small and she was trying to look over the rail, and there was a lot of people around and the rail was so high. And she tugged on her dad's shirt and she said, "Dad, I can't see anything." The father picked the little girl up on his shoulders, and she looked out over the ocean and over the vast view off that cruise ship onto the islands and all around. And she said this, "Daddy, I can see farther than my eyes can look." What a great statement. You know, hope can see farther than your eyes can look. What your eyes see in the natural, hope sees farther. Come on, somebody. Hope sees further than your eyes can look. And today, I want you to know in Jesus, there's hope. And that hope is greater than your despair. Mary hope, Mary faith gives us the gift of faith and says, believe again. Mary hope gives us the gift of hope and says, against all hope, believe in hope. Stand with me as we look at this one last scripture and we're going to pray. This morning, this is the season of hope. We can choose despair. We can choose to let our reality defeat us. We can choose to let all the things that are going on around us to overwhelm us. We can choose to let tragedies or uncertainties change our outlook and our perspective. Or we could have hope today. We could look and set our eyes on Jesus today and receive his hope. I love this scripture, and this is going to be our closing prayer this morning. You've heard me use it many times. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Of course, I say that every week, so there's all the scriptures. But Romans 15:13 is a blessing that Paul pronounced on the people at Rome. And it's a blessing I want to pronounce over you today. And it's a prayer I want you to pray during this season. Whatever's going on, say, "God, I don't understand. God, I don't like what's going on. I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand. But but I put my hope in you. I love this blessing. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer for you. Would you extend your hand toward heaven for a moment as an act of worship, as an act of faith? And I want to pray this over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, as the pastor of this church, I extend my hand toward your people as they extend their hand toward you today. Whatever's going on in their world right now, whatever pain, whatever uncertainty, whatever difficulty is going on, I pray and I pronounce a blessing of hope on their life right now. I ask that now, not tomorrow, not 3 o'clock this afternoon, not 1 o'clock this afternoon, but right now, I ask that the God of hope, the God of all hope, the God who is in charge and still on the throne today, the God who can speak life into existence, the God who still raises the dead and does miracles today, the God of all hope, would fill every person within sound of my voice